I want to try to open up your minds and challenge you for a minute. More than a minute. It'll be a regular shear. The amount of tshuvas that have come out during Corona are awesome. Rav Osher Weiss has written what I understand to be 400 pages. I've received three chalakim of these tshuvas. He's writing a sefer on it. A sefer has been written on Shailos HaTshuvas during Corona. There's been questions that have been asked. Rav Zilberstein also has published something. And it's unbelievable because one thing it should show us, of course, is Eitz Chaim Hi L'Machazik Imboi, that the Torah is Nitzchius. It lasts forever. As we start the new Torah, we start again. The Bereshis, the idea of Reshis, is what we exist on. We exist on the fact that Torah is actually Mechadesh Betula B'chol Yom Tamid. That Torah questions, these Corona questions are so far, it's kind of funny because there was a guy on our block who used to speak out a lot against Minyanim on the block. Like he was really against, it's just a Meir of Minyan at the end of Shabbos, which is like a custom in Israel. Everybody has a Meir of Minyan on their block. And he spoke out against it really, really stark one time when he gave a chabura, and he scared somebody. He told him about a story about one of the great achronim whose son died because they lived on top of the shul. It was like a whole thing. And now all of a sudden he's diving on the block with us, obviously for good reason, right? So many things have changed. Haiba Galila, you never would have a father-son. You never would have a... Now, like, that's the thing, because we want to, you know, the types of laning that we have, the way that it's done, this, I mean, all these different things were never shilas before. Yesterday, because it was sent to me a number of times, a few people sent it to me, so I was ma'ayin in it, and I want to learn with you just two tshuvas and see how poskim deal with this very interesting question, and I certainly want your participation to this. And the question is a very... politically charged question. You'll see in a moment why. And that is, do I have a chiyuv to daven for a chole who has corona, who I know received corona because of his lack of listening to the rules and regulations? Yeah. So Rav Zilberstein yesterday, it was quoted in his name. It's very hard for me to believe what I'm about to say. Okay? I know, just to give you my history, one of the... Baruch Hashem, I've been involved in the yeshiva now for 12 years, almost 13 years, and most in not in a paying position, Baruch Hashem. And when I started teaching here, volunteering here in the yeshiva, I gave a night chabura. And what I did was I took the tshuvas of Rav Zilberstein, and I found that it was an awesome way to open the minds of Shana Aleph students, right? And I'll just give you one example of it. Because it's a great example to me. It opens my heart. We had a student, so Raboaz was extremely smart. He's still extremely smart. He would give me, like, the most difficult of students. And he said, if anybody could turn these guys on, right? And I don't know, Raboaz always would say this, you're the only person here who doesn't teach in the morning, and you have so much energy. And I said, so much energy. I used to sit next to Raboaz in the base medrash before they kicked me out. And so they had to move me. They had to kick me out of the base medrash because I was too loud and people were complaining. But I would go crazy. That's what Torah is. Torah is, you should see that. It's called Masika Shel Torah. I would go crazy over the questions and we go crazy in it. Fine. And there was one guy there. Forget about it, guys. Forget it. This guy never listened. For some reason, he came, which was strange. He respected me enough. And I would joke around with him. Nothing. No, couldn't get, you know, he'd be like, what do you think, Rav Zilberstein? And if you read Rav Zilberstein's Torahs, you'll see the answers become very similar after a while. Right? Some of the things that he says, are you could almost guess the answer. Fine. And I've used this as a springboard for my own kids to learn with them. There's great svarim they've written for kids on the Shilas. Fine. So it's interesting because, as we know, Rav Zilberstein gets the most outlandish questions ever. In his base medrash, in his kolel, craziest questions. Some of them it's hard to believe they're actually true, but he answers them nonetheless. And it's a great, for me, it's my great, I call it my plain Torah. These are the shiurim that I download on the plane. Very easy to sleep. No, it's very easy to listen to these shiurim because, you know, they're a bit more... And if you listen to the shiurim, which are even better than the books, they're screaming. When he gives the shiur, I don't know anymore, of course, but Chalon and Bnei Brak, people will... That's a typical Israeli thing. right? In America, the rabbi gets up, he gives a drasha, nobody says a word. They might ask some question, excuse me, can you explain Tosafos again? Whoa, good question. You know, like, here you have Israelis get up and go, Zelo nachon, mayimah kamah v'knisus, and it was like, it's great. So it's great to listen to that. So this student, we're asking questions, and finally one day I'm like, come on, right? Let's call him Chaim Yankel. Chaim Yankel, come on, Chaim Yankel. Do you have an answer? And he looks at me with literally like a dumbfounded face, and he's like, it's easy. It's definitely a case of Geneva's Das. Right? And I start having a heart attack. I'm like, I'm holding my heart. I'm like, this is the big one. What's happening? And I said, what did you just say? Almost like as if I he said a curse word. I go, what did you just say? He's like, I said Geneva. Don't you dare say those words in the basement. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah. A few weeks ago, we did the case of Rev Zilberstein. And I'm like, what? He was listening the whole time. And he looked, and it turned out he was enamored by this. So Rev Zilberstein's places are amazing. And he's well known for saying things that are, wow. How did I get into Rev Zilberstein? The famous question. His number one question, in my opinion. That really got me started on this Rev Zilberstein. I had one opportunity. I didn't realize what I missed. And for a number of years, people were saying to me, can you go meet Rav Zilberstein? I finally got a contact with somebody who lives in his neighborhood, Ramat al-Hanan, right next to Bnei Brak. And they were able to set up a meeting. It's not for now, the politics of it. But it was set up at a time that the yeshiva felt was not appropriate for the boys to go because he couldn't do it at night. It was during the day, and we didn't go in the end. Pretty stupid, if you ask me. But okay, I did get to meet him once. Anyway, this question is crazy. So one of the jobs that Rav Zilberstein has, amongst being a Paisik and being the son-in-law of Rav Elyashev, the brother-in-law of Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Shem Shazem Rufur Shleima, he says like this. So he says, he was also the head of Mane Yeshua, the hospital. He gets a lot of medical shilas. So it's a secular high school, right outside of Tel Aviv. And unfortunately, there's a bit of a bully. There's a bully situation. And every day, there's a kid who comes into school, the bully, and he asks another kid, and he says to him, give me your lunch. Smacks him in the face, kid falls on the floor, and he gives him a lunch. Every day is the same thing. This kid is, obviously, if the bully's, tormenting him, he's a little bit of a nerd. But he's, one of those nerds that are going to make, that's going to be, invent Facebook or something, or Zoom. And he says, I have an idea. Tomorrow, since I never eat lunch anyway, I'm going to put a little arsenic in the lunch. Poison. The kid will eat the lunch. He'll finally get the message. Shkoyich. So he makes up a whole little potion. Nowadays, we just would cough on it. And he gives it to the kid. And the kid punches him in the face and gives it to him for the first time. The kid smiles after he's punched. And now lunch comes. And he hides behind a tree. And he's watching the kid take out the delicious sandwich. And he starts eating it. About 30 seconds in, he starts foaming at the mouth. And he's like, and he falls on the floor. And the whole school is like, oh my God. And this kid can't take it. He runs up to him. And he says, good, you're going to die. For you tormented, it's like a movie, right? You tormented every single kid. You're not going to be a bully anymore. And everybody starts laughing. And of course, they call the ambulance, whatever. This kid's about to die now. And they put him into an ambulance. And guess what? They bring him to Mane HaYeshua, to the hospital. He's in the hospital, and the doctor that's working on him, Baruch Hashem, he's going to live, says the protocol is quite obvious. He's, when they ask him the questions, you've been poisoned. Do you have any possible idea who it might be? And he's like, no, I know 100% for sure. It's that kid. He went up to me. So what's the protocol? You have to call the police and tell them. So he said, so they went to Rav Zilberstein. This doctor was a religious doctor, and he went to Rav Zilberstein and said, I just want to make sure, is this the halacha? He says, halacha? Why would you call the police? It was a mitzvah what he did, and he should do it again and again and so on and so forth. Right, so you can't just say this and expect nothing to happen. This hits the media, goes into some of the Israeli newspapers, the Ma'ariv, the secular newspapers, and they go crazy on it, and other rabbis comment and say he's crazy, of course this kid should be arrested, you can't do that, and there's a back and forth. He won't let up, and that's what's great about Rav Zilberstein. He said other crazy shilas, same thing, where he says something controversial, he says, I don't care what you think. So he's considered to be controversial, even in the Haredi world. He's not well accepted by all the Haredi. So this typifies shock of Rav Zilberstein. It's hard for me to believe that he would say something like this. The Belzer Rebbe has a COVID. It came out only a few days ago. Nobody knew this. But Hadassah Ein Keren Hospital has been treating him for the last number of weeks for COVID, privately in his home, to understand the politics of this, because they realize, right, that why do hospitals do commercials? Why do they come to our hospital? We'll take it. Why do they care? Because the more people in the hospital, the more money they make. So if all the Belzer Hasidim go exclusively to Hadassah, for example, instead of Shaarei Tzedek, which is considered to be the more Haredi hospital, they just got thousands and thousands of more patients. So they're going to take care of it. He's got COVID. And it seems to be pretty obvious that some of his actions were not following the guidelines, the rules, and regulations. As opposed to the United States of America, Israel has laws that you get fined for. Over Yontif, unfortunately, there were thousands of people who were fined from the regular 500 to 5,000 shekel for not following it. Two people, just to give you the both sides of the story, one person was a person going to the shul who was found to have been tested positive for corona, decided that he had to go to shul. And the other person was going to the beach, right? Also was tested positive for corona. So it's not just religious people. And there's a million other stories, I'm sure. Anyway, the Belzer Rebbe, they've showed the videos of his Chatzir Kodesh, of the Admar, with nobody with masks, and the wedding that they had. And so, here's the question. HaRebbe Mibel Shemovil, who, of course, leads the Tzibur HaCharedi, so he was asked the following thing. He's ushpaz lefnei kechodshayim bebeit b'matzav kasher. He's not in a good situation. La'achashim v'dach mikorona. Kasher beichol nemotan. Fine, okay. So they asked Rav Zilberstein very quickly, who was chaver motzes hakadoilus hatoyre poisik, one of the poiskim of the door, and they said, should we have a mass tefillah gathering for him? He's sick. And he writes, Loli palel al chole corona shaya b'li masecha. When he gets better, he's not allowed to make a goma. That's what he said. Now, I don't know, according to this article, and you know, these are the Haredi, I don't know if you know, they're Haredi websites, Chadei Chadarim, and all these different things. It's just strange because they're not supposed to be on the internet. I don't understand. And so on one of these, he did say this psak. He didn't quote it in the name of Rav, the Belzer Rebbe, but apparently they asked him straight out, what about the Belzer Rebbe? And this is what he said. The reason why I'm surprised is because there's so much politics behind that. It's hard to believe that he would say something like that because he can get in a lot of trouble. But as I told you, he doesn't care. So here is the background of the Shiloh. Okay? And again, please, yeah, this is an open forum here. Ask.
So what does he think of
Rupayim? Right. Exactly. That's exactly what I thought. It's a perfect question. He has such, he's trepidation in front of his brother-in-law, Rupayim. It seems to be quite clear as well. That's an excellent question. It was on my mind when I was walking here. I was actually mitlabit saying maybe I shouldn't give this here, and certainly I shouldn't tape it and put it on Yitora. We'll see what happens. Because it's inconsistent. Wouldn't you say the same thing about his brother-in-law? It seems clear as well that his brother-in-law hosted a gathering on Motzei Yom Kippur that was illegal. All shuls are closed, right? And unfortunately, Litzarein, I don't know if you saw the horrible video, it really hurts me. They had a Simchas Beis HaShoeva for some stucca where they had him, a picture of him just sitting in his sukkah for 2 hours. And at one point, they took a Gemara out for him to learn. He collapsed. And immediately he collapses, and immediately somebody took the camera and hid it so they can't see him being taken care of. And it seems to be that he's almost like a puppet. And his family is Nebuch is in his 90s. He's no, if you're 90 years old, it's hard to control. You're not in control, really. And it seems that they're forcing him. He should be sleeping. He's corona. It's a great question. I don't have a good answer for you because Mestama would be the same thing. We'll see, though. Hopefully we'll have time to do both of the tshuvas. Because we're going to see mikatz of the katz, and I think this is why this is going to be a fascinating analysis of it. And that's what's beautiful about modern-day tshuvas, where you could have two the greatest poskim totally disagree with each other. So, it was quoted, another great website, the Yeshiva World. So it was quoted that one shul member who has health issues comes to shul without a mask. other mispalim, including Talmidei Chachamim, ask him to wear a mask, but he absolutely refuses. And I've seen these people. This morning, when I went to davening this morning, very strangely, we have a very set minion on my block, and some guy who I've never seen before just showed up. So he had to be told he can't sit in the mechubed seats that we all... We gave him a seat on the side, and he was one of the very typical mask wearers, which bother the heck out of me, one of these guys. Right? The nose apparently is not part of the body anymore. You know? So I went up to him, and I go, like that. And he's like, okay. So they won't listen. The Talmud Chacham responded that he doesn't want to daven for him if he's sick. Right? Right? Sorry, I didn't finish the beginning part. The Talmud Chacham said, you're destroying yourself with your own hands. Don't you dare come to me and ask me to daven for you if you get sick. Sure enough, when a tzaddik says something like that, the man contracted COVID. He's hospitalized. He's in serious condition. His family's members run to this Talmud Chacham to daven for him. The Talmud Chacham responds, he doesn't want to daven for him because he knowingly is committing suicide by not wearing a mask. And he shouldn't come to me afterwards that you put yourself at risk. So they asked Rav Zilberstein the Shiloh, is this appropriate action to say? You shouldn't daven for him. Yeah. Did you say it?
I was going to say, is he able to do tshuva and say I was wrong in asking?
Very good. So it's funny. We discussed this yesterday in one of my classes. So we discussed about, it was my first time teaching Rav Kenny's class. And there were a few guys that were combative with me. We discussed justified stealing, right? And we were talking about taking cups out of the cheder ochel, and this one kid went crazy on me. He's like, of course you can take cups out of the cheder ochel. You know how much money I pay? They're not even giving me any trips this year. And he's like, he was going crazy about it, like as if I cared about the yeshiva. Like, I don't really care. It's fine. Just calm down. I just think that's justified stealing. Just because you pay, right? Just because there was the Holocaust doesn't mean you could steal your taxes in the United States of America, right? Goyim were bad in Germany. It's not justified. That your parents. So speak to the school about a discount. You can't steal cups. That's not there for that. My point is, we were speaking about other cases of different famous business people who have committed crimes. Do you accept them back in the community? There's a famous story about a unfortunate person in a certain community that I will not speak about, and he received chasen bereishis upon his leaving jail. He left jail, literally, it was a few weeks, they were nice to him, they let him out a little bit early, so he could be around for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And he was honored, since he just got out of jail, you know, with chasen bereishis. Azai chutzpah. I cannot say. That will not say. What?
Does it rhyme with? I think it might have been my shul.
I don't know. I'm not, I'm sure there's more than one story. So then we spoke about a famous person who, miraculously got out of a jail after being sentenced for 26 years. And we discussed that case. If it's appropriate for him to go around and teach about Emuna, Bitachon, and Geula, Aleph Bet Gimel, if he's never, ever admitted the fact that he's done something wrong. Right? Which, being in the same business that he's in, there's no question that what he did was wrong. And that's the first step. Even if you... So you're right. If a person does tshuva and says, I screwed up, I did something wrong, and we'll see in Rav Usher Weiss's tshuva, there's a reason why people aren't wearing masks in the Haredi community and in all communities, right? There is a logic out there that says that this is all made up stuff. It's not true. That there are doctors. I can show you articles in real science journals that say that this thing is a whole fake thing and it's actually making people worse because of breathing and things like that. I certainly don't agree with it because it's not the majority opinion out there. But there is such a logic there. So that's also a question. Is there a little tino chenishma here? I had the wrong education. You're sitting there all day, not you, watching TV and every single interview in the world, and you're like, oh my God, we really got to be careful. The Haredim don't have that. They have a guy, literally, it's not a joke, going around bet with a speaker saying, please wear your mask, with the mask, you know, like, that's their internet. That's what they have. All the kids are like, oh, what did he say? Oh, wow. And he keeps repeating it over. He just said that. Why is he saying it again? Did you want to say something? Oh, sorry, I'm going to get to you in a second.
Well, yeah, I've seen that in the videos, but usually they're announcing
people have died. Yeah, but I was just in bet on last week when we went shopping, and we were coming back, and my wife's like, what are they saying? And the kids were actually running after the car, and I was able to understand, because they were using the word, Misrad HaBrios, the Grois HaZach, and the Masichis, to wear the Masicha, you know, wear your mask.
You're speaking about people getting out of jail, and not necessarily related to COVID, but...
Not related to COVID at all.
No, but I'm saying in cases and in cases in the community. So in a case where it might be, maybe it wasn't something like that, it was a very serious, serious crime, but maybe they were even judged unfairly.
100% judged unfairly.
I'm curious that maybe it was wrong, but they were judged unfairly.
100%.
And a community celebrated that.
Yes.
Release.
Yes.
Are you, like...
That's the Shiloh. The Shiloh, we gave a shiur like this last week.
Are you talking about
Rabashkin? I'm talking 100% about Rabashkin. I'll say it straight out. I won't say the shul, because I don't, right?
Is that the Rav, the poultry, the
poultry, yeah. So there's no question. There's no question there was a travesty of justice. There's no black and white on that one, in my opinion, okay? Just like I think there's no black and white and that he did do things that were wrong, I think that it's black, it was a travesty of justice. And Baruch Hashem, our Messiah, Donald Trump, saw that. Whatever happened, whatever the story, if the story is really true about the girl that wrote a letter saying that she has cancer, you know the story, that she had cancer and her last wishes to please him, that story is actually not true. She actually did write a letter, but she wasn't dying of cancer. She had cancer, but she was fine. Whatever, it doesn't matter. And they're not sure he actually saw the letter, but anyway, he got out of jail. The question is, and this is a Chil Hashem question, right, which is the question here, by the way, right? Rav Meir Torsky, the great Rosh Hashiva in YU, I listened to this on Hoshana Rabbah about 4:30 in the morning, so I fell asleep for most of it. But he has like a 30-minute drasha about Chil Hashem, what's going on in Brooklyn now. He says, it's ain't hachanami. It seems like it's a little bit anti-Semitic that Cuomo is singling out only the religious communities. And as I saw some lady was screaming yesterday when police came to shut down a place of business, which is not allowed to be open, and give them a $5,000 fine. She says, it's so interesting to me. If my store was in, pick the community, she picked a very certain community, and she said, if it was in that community, you wouldn't do anything. It's just because you were in a religious community, you can do whatever you want because we're scared to death of you. She says, this is not fair, right? And she said, there were plenty of communities, numbers-wise, where the numbers are much higher than the religious community. But you know, well, listen, that doesn't mean that you can start burning these, you know, and go around the bus and block a bus so that it can't move, a city bus. That's not a Jewish thing to do. It's a Chil Hashem. So in this case, the question becomes, I believe there should be a celebration. The question is, should you be doing it at 2 o'clock in the morning? Should everybody now start Googling from New York who never heard of this guy? What did he, and the story, right. That's the joke, you know, I love the joke. They said that in 770, the Nes of Hanukkah is that, what's the Nes of Hanukkah? That one flask lasted for 8 days. This, they had 8 days, delivered 8 days of alcohol and only lasted one night. They said they brought it. They showed pictures of all the alcohol they brought in, and people were celebrating. It's a great simcha. The question is, do you want to bring that simcha out for the olam to see? And then you say to yourself, doesn't look good. Now, the real question is for him to be going out now and to be giving these, right? There's a famous story in England where he gave one of these drushas, and he was invited from a shul, a little bit more of a modern shul, and they got so much bad press, they canceled him. And he said, it's not fair. And they said, we'll allow you to come to the shul. Just release a statement that says that you regret some of the things that you did, or we have to be more careful with business. And he did not.
Also, a quick thing. Like, I don't know if it's his father or his uncle, but it's like one of the biggest baltistakos in the Jewish community. And does that have a different effect? And also...
I think it's worse.
Yeah.
I think it's worse.
Because there's stakos.
Right. There's a famous story when I was a kid. I just remember this because I remember watching TV and like seeing in my eyes a Chil Hashem. Okay? There was a famous, I believe he was not religious, and he was found guilty of one of these stock fraud things, right? Like an OPM, other people's money, whatever. And the Fox News has had the story, and they go straight to the school, religious school, that the name of the school is after this guy. And they show them quickly trying to get the word. It was really true. They show some worker trying to take the words off the building because everybody's going to interview now. And it's going to look horrible. And it was like the biggest Chil Hashem because this guy was a big Baal Stukka. It's even worse. It's like, oh, that's the Jews believe. As long as you give Stukka, of course.
Robert Kraft.
Robert Kraft, why? But he didn't do anything wrong.
No, but when it happened,
people... Oh, when he did, yeah. So people say, oh, look, you're right. So let's go back to our story. Let's try to continue. Yeah, I'm sorry. You were a long time. I had a question.
Okay, regarding the story of the Talmud Chacham, he goes to die.
How?
What if he's like, you know, wearing a mask, I'm not going to daven for you. What if there was a guy, you know, he doesn't keep Shabbat. Are you allowed to daven for him also? Like, okay, you don't keep Shabbat.
100%, because that's not a result. I agree with what you're saying. Rav Zilberstein actually has I have thousands of Rav Zilberstein stories in my mind. So there's a story about Rav Zilberstein. It's a little bit related, I think, just to give you the idea. One thing has nothing to do with the other. However, somebody got into a horrible car accident outside of a shul, and they thought it was a siman from the Rabbanu Shalom. So they went to the shul and they said, I want to donate like a lot of money to the shul. And he's like, the guy said, why? He says, I got into a horrible car accident. And the rabbi's like, wait a minute, I heard that car accident. When was it? It's like, oh, last Shabbos. I'm Machal Shabbos. So he didn't want to accept the money for the shul. But the opposite of that, he says, no, but we'll do come say a gomel. Some kid. So I don't think that that's, I don't think that we say, I could be wrong about this. I'm not Paskening, and I'm not Rav Zilberstein. But the avera that a person, the averas that we do, and I speak Lashon Hara, I'm saying that has nothing to do. Here, I'm specifically getting sick because I'm not following the rules. Now, it's true, by the way, you can't prove, even the Belzer Rebbe, you can't prove that the person got it because of. Generally, you can't prove that. You could try to prove it. It's not that simple. There are other shilas Rav Zilberstein has brought up, and the Rav Asher Weiss, Nebuch, doctors who had somebody in their house who had COVID positive, and they came to work anyway. There's one specific story here in Israel, and he was a doctor in a nursing home, and he literally, not literally, killed like six patients because he was carrying it. He didn't realize. His test did not come back yet. His kid had it. He thought he was quarantined and thought because he wore all the protective gear, he would be okay. He gave it to six patients and they died because of it. And now he went and asked about tshuva and so on and so forth. But I don't think the act of doing another, but here, this, I'm Messiah, meaning the example which Rav Asher Weiss will actually give, right, is that I do something that's dangerous to my life. I know it's dangerous, right? I go bungee, whatever, jumping, but I go in a country where, like, you're not even so sure it's so good, right? And then the guy dies. Like, he knew. People told him it's not safe. And then, when he went to the guy and he asked him, and he said, excuse me, is this safe? He goes, it's very, very safe. Only four people died this year. They're like, four people died this year? What are you, crazy? So if you're misaking yourself in the goof of the aver itself, now I should daven for you? Again, Rav Asher Weiss is going to disagree if we ever get to it. So Rav Zilberstein says that if the patient has already unhealthy, even before he got corona, maybe he wasn't even completely in his right mind. So then you have a chiyuv to daven for him. I don't understand exactly what he's saying here. He's saying that maybe we can taina that he's in a different state.
That doesn't make sense for the Belzer Rebbe. The Belzer Rebbe is like,
yeah.
If you've seen the Belzer Rebbe,
yeah,
before corona,
yeah,
it's not like he's on there.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
So Rav Chaim, I think, would be a good raya. Many people say that Rav Chaim's psakim that have come out recently are whatever somebody tells them to say. I don't know if this is true. At the end of the life of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, there was a big question about that as well. He was not in a very good state. And there were questions that came out the last few psakim. They had this with a lot of different rabbanim. The last few psakim, they weren't sure. Were people just telling them what to say? So he writes, there's a lot of confusion. And there are a lot of people that rationalize there's no need to wear a mask. The Sheilas Tshuvas Minchas HaLuzer, which is the Munkacher Rav, said that if a person puts himself in sakana, in risk, in order to save his possessions, and he's saved through a nace, he shouldn't bench goma, right? The house is burning down, right? And he's able to get out, or he's out of the house already, and he's like, oh my God, I forgot my tefillin, right? Or I forgot my big screen TV, you know? And he runs in. And the firemen come and they're like, there's no way this guy's going to be, he's dead. He's dead for sure. And he runs out of the fire and he's benched. He says, you don't bench Gomel for that. What'd you go into the fire for? What's wrong with you? That's what the Minchas HaLarza says. There was an incident of a Jew who owned a precious stone. He walked in the street holding a package of a precious stone. This, actually, remember, this is one of Rav Zilberstein's shilas. The armed thief is like, oh my God, talk about easy. This is like candy. This is candy for me. So easy. The guy's holding it. It says on it, you know, like it's like a cartoon. A lot of diamonds in here, right? And he's walking in the middle of a bad neighborhood. The west side of Manhattan now apparently is a bad, very bad neighborhood now. Homeless people all around that. Although the Jew was unaware that the thief was armed, he refused to cede the package. He refused to give up the package. And what happened? The thief shot him. Right? This happens before. This is a reaction sometimes people have. We see this in movies. It's like, I'm not giving you the thing. He's like, yeah, I'm gonna kill you. Right? And then you see that guy's like, you're not going to kill me. You're not going to kill me. Ooh, rah, rah. You know, like, it doesn't really happen in real life, right? But this is what happened. He shot him and he lived. He says, you don't bench Gomel for that. Were you crazy? Give up the diamonds. The Rav Zilberstein had a shaila about who would be after, let's say he lost the diamonds. Let's say he gave them up. Or am I a poshea? I'm a shomer, but I'm poshea. If I'm a partners with somebody else, I may have to pay that other guy the whole price of the diamonds. He says, what were you holding them in broad daylight for? Let me just finish this and I'll get to you. The Jew approached us and we paskin that he's called a para adam. It's a really bad word. A wild man who acted at risk. According to the din, he was obligated to give over his possessions. Right? This Rav Zilberstein said this happened. It's a real case. And he asked about benching Gomel. He says, you can't bench Gomel. You're a para adam. You're an animal. What? Yeah. I actually was called a para adam once. I was in the Kotel. I used to, Baruch Hashem, I missed the Kotel so much. So I used to have, we had a group who would go once a month for Vasikin. And then we got a little bit older. I'm not sure why we stopped this minhag, but people were like, I can't get up. You know, you have to get up at like 4 something in the morning to go. And a guy was collecting stucco. There's like, tons of people collecting stucco. And I like ran out of money. And I didn't have anything. So I had like 20 agorot or something. I felt bad, so I gave it to him. And he threw the money back and he goes, Ata peradom, peradom. I was like, oh God. He says, but he's giving me 20 agorot. He's right, but I had no other money. Fine. So he calls him a peradom and he says, according to the din, he's obligated to give the possessions over and he shouldn't bench Gomel, right? Harav Chaim Palagi wrote that a person who drank poison and put himself at risk, but the doctors managed to save him, also doesn't bench Gomel. One of the great Svardi Poiskim says he also doesn't. Why? Because he put himself in a tzaris situation, right? He wants to prove to everybody, this isn't going to kill me. I'll take it anyway. See, what do you bench Gomel? In conclusion, we don't need to daven for a person who knowingly harms himself for no reason. If the man is saved, he doesn't bench Gomel. But if, prior to his extremist actions, there was a difficult situation or he was ill already, so then we should daven for him. And if he's saved, then you can bench Gomel. So I don't understand that exact last point, the point that we said. But we'll see that Rav Usher Weiss, which we'll get to after your questions, totally disagrees and says, why don't we just err on the side of caution and daven for him anyway? What's the big deal? Because now we look like the bad guy. So why should I be the bad guy? Just daven. Come on, what's a daven for him? What's the big deal? Oh boy. Okay. Let's get to it. Yes. 1, 2, 3, 4. And then we'll go for lunch.
If there was like a Jewish David Blaine that like locked, like
I'm sorry, who's David Blaine? Okay, you know. He looked at me, Okay, yeah, go ahead.
And so like, for example, like one of his things is that he locks himself in like a block of ice.
Yeah.
They're dangerous things.
Good question.
And so would you bench Gomel after each other?
No, I would assume, what?
Not a chance.
Yeah. So Ramosha Feinstein has a tshuva. It's funny, I just reminded myself of this because I listened to this on, had an amazing Hashanah Rabbah. My son, he didn't know he did this, but he challenged me to stay up all night because he said, I'm staying up all night, Abba. I'm like, oh. Like imagine your son, my son, he's your age. And he's like, oh yeah, I'm definitely going to stay up all night. I'm like, okay, I guess I am. So there's like literally 1,000 shurim taking place. It was amazing. Somebody made such an amazing person. He made a Google Doc of all the shurim. It was amazing. So I was going from different shurim. So one of the rabbanim in Bar Ilan's Kolel, I apologize, I forget his name. So he spoke about the Rav Moshe Feinstein Shuvah. I believe the Shuvah is about boxing. You know, Rav Moshe Feinstein has very interesting Hebrew terms. Usually phonetically spells things out, like automobile, and it takes you like 5 minutes to automobile. Fine. So here he writes Mischakei Kadurim. So this rabbi said, I think he's talking about playing baseball. There's no way he's talking about baseball. I think it was a boxing shiloh. I didn't have a chance to look it up. But that was a typical case. There was a Jew, there was a frum boxer, Dimitri, I think his name was. Oh yeah, sorry, my friend Dimitri. Okay, yeah.
He got stinked after.
Really? So that's a shiloh. Whether allow you allow to put yourself, I don't think it's a shiloh so much actually. The Rambam Mefurish talks about putting yourself in harmful situations. Rav Moshe Feinstein has another tshuva, right? Where Rav Moshe says, first of all, Rav Moshe has different issues with the boxing itself. The other person has to agree that he knows the type of danger he's about to get into, and obviously it's not a good Jewish profession. But Rav Moshe has this famous marijuana tshuva, where one of the many things he says is usher about marijuana, right? You don't remember, Rav Moshe Feinstein was around in the 60s when marijuana was a real big thing. It was like minhag hamakom, you know. So he says that one of the bad things about it is makalkel saguf, and the Rambam Mefurish writes, you're not allowed to harm your body. It's a violent, and it's a daraisa. So one could, you know, somebody, so I, this bothered me a lot, somebody wrote, why are we not making a bracha every time we put a mask on? Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu melech olam. You know, it should be Mekadosh Shemo Barabim, which we do make Ashkenazim make in the morning, but it's in Shmira Asag, whatever it was, Lishmor Asaguf. We don't make a brachas. That would be my answer. But yeah, you are. Yeah, when you put this on, you should realize you're doing a mitzvah midoraisa.
Did your Feinstein say that marijuana harms the body at all times?
No, he says it's a makalkel, it's a goof. It doesn't allow you to study the right way, which is true. It doesn't allow you to. It allows you to focus in a different way, and it puts you in a different world, and you can't daven, you can't do most things in the appropriate way. So it'd be a problem. He's got a lot of other issues with it. We could give the marijuana shiur one.
Could you say that?
What?
Could you say that with Shemashan?
Yeah, you could always. That's not a bracha. It's just fake. That's like, you know, going to a non-religious shul. The ark down thy heaven and the earth.
What does
your friend
say about
alcohol? He does, not to my knowledge, if he comment on it. Again, in your taina might be, if I you know, only have one thing of marijuana a month, maybe that's okay. It's very interesting, Shiloh, because now we're learning a lot more about it. On the ballots, just in a few weeks from now, in many states, including the state I used to live in, New Jersey, they probably will be legalizing marijuana in certain cases, scenarios. Right? So, it's interesting. Yes?
So you spoke about how potentially the guy knew he was being major that you wouldn't say go well for that. What about like doing in a very, you mentioned the example on Friday, say it was Uber or Shabbos, the guy gets into a car accident.
Yeah. So Mistomi,
if you're knowingly doing an Avera,
right, so that's interesting.
And then something happens.
Right, so that's interesting. That's what the question that was asked. Meaning the goof of the Avera he did, maybe on a metaphysical level, caused him to have this accident. But it wasn't a result of his, right, of his poor judgment in doing this. If his car didn't have brakes, and he gets into this car accident, on Shabbos, doesn't matter when.
Not really causing harm to others.
Well, yeah. Meaning, yeah, you shouldn't be driving on Shabbos, maybe because you just spoke Lashon Hara, you fell on the floor, right? Or you fell off a cliff, and now you live, Baruch Hashem. Does that ever happen? I don't know. But, right, you live. And you're like, oh my God, it's because I was talking Lashon Hara when I was walking down. Not necessarily, right? We're not supposed to do that. We're not supposed to say this way. So it's hard to say that he was driving, so you shouldn't bet your gum. It's a good question. I haven't seen the Menachos Alozer inside. He doesn't give a Mara Mokum for it. So it's a good question. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah, so
I'm not sure I'm remembering this. They might be wrong, but don't we say that someone was trying to dig into somebody else's house to steal from them?
Baba Machteris, yeah.
And it ended up possibly like killing him.
Right, because he should have known better. Yeah. He knows what's. Right, go ahead, sorry.
If this tunnel collapses and the person is no longer in danger, he's supposed to try to save the person.
Correct.
So
no, because we're not saying. Oh, you're saying by davening for somebody, you're helping to save them. So that's it's a little bit more indirect. Obviously, if you're a doctor and you say, "Oh, he's a Russia, why should I help him anyway?" That's ridiculous. So even by non-Jews, we say that you have a mitzvah to help them. I think that we didn't discuss the most important question: what is a mishra b'nei for chola? What does davening for a chola mean? What's the heebie-jeebies on that? Like, what is that? What am I doing? It's a very interesting question, right? Especially when somebody says, the learning today is sponsored the Refuah Shleima for so-and-so. So that means that's it? All you learn today it doesn't help you. Because it's for that guy, it's not for you. What does it mean? So here's what I believe. This is at least the answer that has sat most well with me. I think that by learning Torah, what we're doing is that we're dedicating ourselves to this person, and there's chus, we're learning a little bit more Torah. That's what it should be. When I say a mishabeya for cholim, right? So really, it should come with Tehillim. I'm saying an extra parak of Tehillim. I wasn't going to say that parak of Tehillim, right? There's a Nebuchadnezzar, a woman that's very sick in our community. So a number of tzadikim, women, are saying all of Tehillim, the whole book of Tehillim, every Shabbos for her. So there's clearly an extra schus for her. They wouldn't have said it normally. So that's why I wonder the following case. I've argued this case before, back when I worked here. It's after Mincha, you're about to go to your next class, and they go, we're saying two Perek Tehillim for Michael's great-great-great-grandmother, who's 194, and set. You know, like, so I wonder whether that's the best, right? Because what just happened now, I know it's only a few minutes, but you use those two extra Perek Tehillim instead of learning. I'm not sure. Is that a good idea? Maybe you should announce, you know, the great-great-grandmother is sick, and when you guys go to Shir, please have her in mind. So I'm not sure. That would be the question. But yeah, I think that's a different case, because this is just davening as opposed to physically helping the person. You still have to help the person, yeah. And we believe that. It's an army trade in Tzahal that we say. Oh, but he's a terrorist. They're still going to bring him to the hospital. They don't say, you die, terrorist. We don't do that. Yeah, and I got to get to this because I'm over my time by far.
On top of that, in this case of Corona, you know, if one of the bigger men gets sick, you know, if you got him here and then he survives, that he'll continue to not...
Right, and preach that.
And continue to preach to not wear masks.
Very good question.
Cause sakana for everyone else who just...
Right, so we're not saying the opposite. Nobody's saying you shouldn't daven for him and daven that he dies, so that people get the message, chas v'shalom, right? But you're correct, by people thinking that Rav Chaim Kanievsky was okay the first few weeks, what did they say? You see? It's a fake disease. The great Gadol gets it and nothing happens to him. And that's why I believe they're playing down this Rebel Zarebi thing for weeks didn't come out in the media. Why? Because they don't want to pretend there's anything wrong with any of the Haredim. Although thousands of Haredim have died. Thousands. Not a joke. Not hundreds. Between America and in, it's crazy. So very quickly, unfortunately, this should have been the crux of this year, because this is the lumdas, but I'll do it as quickly as I can. Rav Osher Weiss has a tshuva about a chola corona that didn't watch himself. So he says, a person, so should we daven for him, who didn't wear a masecha. He didn't keep the distance that he should have done. And now he has it. So he quotes a gemara. The gemara says, the gemara in Erevin, Lo yachal adam batzel lepnei nacha shabo, right? That we have an iser of giloy, that there used to be an iser in certain neighborhoods. This is still true. Would be, you know, if you live in a place that has a lot of snakes, we don't eat things that we think the venom of the snake might have gone into. Giloy is really talking about liquids, because he put himself in a makom sakana. So Rav Asher Weiss asked the following question. He asked, where does that put ourselves? As far as this person that's a chola, he knowingly ate the food that we told him is a sakana food. So maybe we should be obvious, and what should we say? Sorry, man, we're not davening for you anymore. So comes along Rav Asher Weiss, and he says the following. And Rav Asher Weiss, by the way, has been on the forefront, more than any gadol in the world, of begging people to keep the rules and regulations. And speaking about the grand chil Hashem, of Haredim who decide that they don't have to wear masks or jump into shuls through a window so they can daven there even though it's illegal. And based on this Gemara, he says, well, we have to understand this Gemara in Erevin. Umaisa Rabbi Chanina. She'achol chatzi batzel v'chatzi nacha shebo, right? And they knew that there was the chala, and he got sick because of it, because of giloy. The venom was there. But then he got better. So what do we just, I have a question. It says they daven for him. Why they daven for him? You should have gone to them and said, you shouldn't have eaten that. What's wrong with you? So there's shtei birim. Number one, the Ritva. The Ritva says, the AFLP, that even though, the Ritva says, even though he should be punished, he should get his chov, still, he was over a divrei chachamim. So maybe we shouldn't daven for him, right? The rabbi said, don't do this, and he did it. Number two is the Yaivitz. The Yaivitz says, she'atzos richa lo haya mitpalam alav, v'nei she'gorim ro la'atzmo, v'hichnitz atzmo l'sakana. Sorry, just to reiterate, I misspoke. The Gemara says, Lav bikshu alav rachamim. They didn't daven for him. So the Ritva and the Yaivitz wants to explain why didn't they daven for him? Answer one, Ritva, he didn't listen to what the rabbis told him to do. Don't eat that food because it could be that a nachash was there. Number two, says the Yaivitz, because he was gorim ralatzim. He put himself in a dangerous situation. What are you davening him for? So comes the Lord of Rosh Reich and he says, well, how does that apply to our case? And very quickly, I apologize, I'm really, really out of time. He says, the divrei shneim, tzorachim lav lispal l'rfuato. But maybe our case is a little bit different. The defi divrei arashim, didon, lo overal divrei chachamim. Interesting that Rav Asher Weiss, of old people, says this. He says, you're not listening to the Misrata Briyut. It's not the chachamim shows. Ha'ri lo medubar takonos chazal. Right? Kamo iser giloi. The aflofia yaivitz bin idun didun, you shouldn't daven for him because you're nachnis asmo lisakana. You knew there people, you knew 100% for sure people told you to wear a mask. You knew that doctors who are smarter than you told you to do that and you didn't listen to them. So again, according to the Ritva, maybe it's not divrei chachamim because it's not a gezera. Yes, great rabbis have told us to wear a mask and keep the hanchayot, but it's not a law that's written in the Mishnah Berurah. Maybe it is, shatim was nashal seichem, but fine. So he says he's not really sure. Demashmina de Mimakum Sufik, Yesh Lachush Lachumra Yaivitz. Daven for him. Maybe why not? Why? Hello Pasha Dim Yesh Sufik Bidaber Vada Yeshlahmer Lis Paul Fuasa. Dima Avera Yeshla Paul Lakola. Why can't you just daven for him? Right? And maybe he didn't know. He's not educated enough. He's in the wrong community. They don't believe in science, they don't believe in and they're making up all this propaganda. And the propaganda works in the Haredi community because they don't have anything to counter it. They're not going online and going, wait a minute, what my rabbi is saying doesn't make any scientific... They don't believe in science. They don't believe anything new. They believe everything's a... You know, and there's something to be said for that. So, just to end, Rav Asher Weiss says, anybody who I have ever have seen that's not wearing a mask, I go up to them and say, put your mask on. I'm the one who does it. Of course, we would follow the Rishon, right? Because the Ritva says, right, he wasn't not listening to Divrei Chachamim. It wasn't a tzakana. So he said that he thought that you should still daven for him. He has a lot of other tirutzim. He brings a Rashi over there. I don't have time to go into it because I'm way over time. But just to understand, Rav Asher Weiss thinks we don't have to be machmer. Ritva is a Rishon, first of all. And he says he was not following the right rule. And maybe even the Yaivitz's rule, even according to the Yaivitz, that he did something. You know, we don't say Shomer Psayim Hashem. We've been davening for in Halal. Shomer Psayim Hashem is Hashem washes over the stupid people. Hashem also of those that, right? But I think this is a case of Shomer Psayim Hashem in a way. In that it wasn't their fault. People who used to be in the olden days were people that smoked. The information wasn't out until 1986 or so, where C. Everett Koop says it causes cancer. People still don't believe it. Now, unfortunately, here in Israel, people still don't believe it. So but if something causes sakana, and you look at that person, you say, how can you be firm in doing that? I say that to people who smoke today. Right? I'm addicted, whatever it might be, but you're putting yourself in a makom sakana. And now the guy gets lung cancer, and you're like, well, I should stop him now. I've been telling you for years to stop doing that. So maybe there is a tinuk shenishma aspect that everybody was doing it, and that's what's happening in some of these communities. To be ma'ayin, Rav Asher Weiss has so much more to say on this topic. But we don't have time. But again, that's the basic idea. I'll take a few questions. But that's the basic idea. So yishkoyach.